Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Friday, February 1st, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Residents in Southeast Alaska are no strangers to earthquakes. There was one almost everyone felt back on February 4th, and some in Sitka felt a lesser quake early Thursday morning. Natalia Rupert is a seismologist. Her official title is Seismic Network Manager for the Alaska Earthquake Information Center in Fairbanks. She visited Sitka before the most recent tremor and stopped by Raven Radio. She talked to KCAW's Ed Ronco.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for being here and taking time to talk about our magnitude 7.5 earthquake from January 4th.
There was a magnitude 7.5 on Queen Charlotte Fault, and Queen Charlotte is a very active strike-slip fault that's the main tectonic feature in southeast Alaska.
What is a strike-slip fault? How does that work?
There are different faults that can be identified in nature, and a strike-slip fault, this is when one side of the fault moves horizontally with respect to the other. There are also thrust faults like Aleutian megathrust, and this is what people experience in southern Alaska and along Aleutian arc. And in that case, one plate actually slides under another one. So you have big vertical motions. On a strike-slip fault, you have big horizontal motions.
And we've been told that the vertical motions are the ones that pose the greatest tsunami threat, that displacement of water upward.
Exactly. When the earthquake displaces a crust, and if it's underwater, it displaces a huge part of the ocean bottom, of the ocean floor, and it pushes water upwards or downwards.
Our fire chief talked about how, you know, we felt the shaking happen, and then minutes later there were advisories and actual scientific information coming in by fax and by phone. How good are we at knowing what's going on out there?
Well, we're pretty good at knowing where the earthquake is and how big it is within minutes. In terms of what kind of fault it is, it takes a little bit longer yet. So it might be up to 15, 20 minutes, up to half an hour to know what kind of motion was involved in this fault, if it's a strike slip or a reverse fault.
It amazes me that scientists like you are able to learn so much and know so much about things that you maybe have never seen physically, like that point on the Queen Charlotte Fault that's under so many hundreds of feet of water. Is it ever frustrating or weird to work in a field where you don't actually get to go and you know, ground truth?
Yes, it is frustrating, especially with Queen Charlotte Fault. It's underwater. Geologists cannot just go and look at the surface displacements and see exactly what earthquake done in this particular event. You probably need a submersible, or you need to send a ship out and to measure exact bathymetry of the seafloor.
How big a deal was what happened January 4th? How major was that event?
If you rate them by 1 to 3, it was on a scale of 2. If we know that a magnitude 8 earthquake on Queen Charlotte Fault occurs every 100 years, we can kind of forecast that another magnitude 8, it's probably going to take another 100 years, but still we cannot tell when and how big and exactly what part of the fault is going to slip.
We don't know more than we do know when it comes to kind of the behavior of the earth.
Exactly. We still know very little about behavior of faults and tsunamis.
That was Natalia Rupert with the Alaska Earthquake Information Center during a visit to Sitka on Tuesday. You can link to the center's website by visiting ours. It's online at kcaw.org. The Sitka Assembly will interview two of the 12 applicants for municipal attorney. They are Alan Bell of Sitka and Wasilla lawyer Robin Kuchak. Alan Bell has been staff attorney for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska since late 2011, and although new to the Alaska Bar, has more than 30 years of legal experience. Most of that was spent in Illinois, in two rural counties on the state's east side. He's a 1980 graduate of the Indianapolis Law School of Indiana University. Robin Kuchak has less total time as a lawyer, but more experience in Alaska. She currently is in private practice in Wasilla. She moved to the state in 1992 after earning a law degree at the Detroit College of Law at Michigan State University. She's been assistant attorney for the North Slope Borough, assistant attorney general, and assistant district attorney for the state of Alaska out of Barrow, and has extensive private practice work on her resume. The Assembly asked former municipal attorney Cliff Groh to review their applications and three others. But as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, one voice will be missing from the table, Sitka's current administrator.
At a special meeting Wednesday night to begin the hiring process, assembly members voted down a motion to include municipal administrator Jim Dinley in the discussion process. Mike Reif, who made the motion, was the only one to vote yes.
Actually, it wasn't just Mr. Dinley. It's actually a group of people, as you might recall from the beginning of the meeting.
At the beginning of the meeting, Reif said he did not feel qualified to hire a municipal attorney on his own. He said it's important to know how an attorney will work with the administrator, the public, and city staff.
And I wanted to get those kind of voices on there so that I could have those sets of eyes evaluate what we had in front of us for applications and saying, these are the skill sets you need for this, this, and this.
But Mayor Mim McConnell says assembly members have a good reason for not inviting Dinley into the talks.
The administrator and attorney positions are equal positions on the city flowchart. They're both employees of the assembly, and one does not have authority over the other.
By charter, only the assembly hires the attorney. But McConnell says Dinley's voice and the voice of other city staff will still be heard.
The administrator and department heads and any member of the public will have an opportunity when this gets voted on to give their input about these people.
Tor Christensen pointed out the possibility that the assembly could hire someone city staff members publicly recommended against. He said the possibility that they could then have to work together would be awkward. John Stein was Sitka's municipal administrator when the assembly hired Teresa Hillhouse in 2005. Stein says in a lot of other municipalities, the attorney works as part of the staff under the administrator's supervision.
And it's interesting here. It sort of provides a bit of a check and balance, I think, between the assembly and the administration.
But the administrator and the attorney aren't necessarily adversaries either. Stein says he had a good working relationship with both Teresa Hillhouse and her predecessor, Cliff Groh.
And I think that's important to have. But it's really the assembly's decision.
Dinley came to Wednesday night's meeting and sat in the audience for about an hour. Reached by phone on Thursday, he said the charter is pretty clear about who hires the attorney and asked if he wanted a stronger voice in the process. He said, "I don't think that's my call." The assembly, meanwhile, is moving quickly. In-person interviews are scheduled for February 8th. McConnell says ideally the assembly could make the hire before Hillhouse leaves the job March 1st. She'll stay on for 4 months at half her salary to aid in a transition. But McConnell and other assembly members also seem to agree Wednesday night that if none of the candidates are what they're looking for, they'll keep looking. Said assembly member Matt Hunter, "Paying an outside attorney for 6 months is still better than hiring someone we don't want." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The joint Alaska House and Senate Transportation Committees on Tuesday sent the name of Governor Sean Parnell's pick for Transportation Commissioner, Pat Kemp, to the full legislature for confirmation. A career DOT employee, Kemp was appointed to the top job in late December after serving as acting commissioner since October. As KTOO's Casey Kelly reports, he faced questions about recent changes to the Alaska Class Ferry project, as well as the Juneau Access Road, at his confirmation hearing.
The administration has been criticized for the governor's sudden decision to change the Alaska Class project from one large 350-foot ferry to two smaller shuttle boats. Residents of small southeast communities are concerned the Alaska Marine Highway System won't be able to provide reliable service with the lighter boats, but Kemp promised lawmakers a full public vetting of the new ferry design.
People are going to like this vessel. I'm guaranteeing it. It's going to be good. It's going to offer more capacity. It's going to be cheaper to operate, and it's going to be within the budget we have before us now.
Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins asked Kemp about the administration's failure to discuss project changes with the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board. Kemp, who's a highway engineer, admitted he didn't fully understand the board's role in providing input to the department.
I met most of them for the first time a week or two ago, I guess. Here in Juneau, they had a board meeting. And understand the sensitivities a little bit better with the board.
Parnell and Kemp have cited Alaska Class cost overruns as the driving force behind the design change. Originally budgeted at about $120 million, recent estimates grew to more than 150 million. Christ Tompkins asked how the administration could be certain that two shuttle ferries would be cheaper to build and maintain than one large 350-foot boat.
The cost of a boat is not linear to its length. When we worked with the third floor with the governor's office on what to do with this over-budget project, the governor was an advocate of chopping length. Well, we found that you could chop only so much, and pretty soon we found out, well, you did need an engine. You did need a propulsion system. You did need the amenities.
Kemp said he believes the two 280-foot shuttle ferries can be built for about $49.5 million each.
With the type of ferries we're looking at now, with a simple roll-on, roll-off, the interior might look similar to a fast ferry with the car deck. They're on, they're off. It's a lot simpler design. And that design also leads to lower operating costs.
Kemp is the first Alaska-born transportation commissioner. He's also the first to work completely through the department's ranks. The House and Senate Transportation Committees voted unanimously to forward his name to the full legislature for confirmation. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The city of Valdez wants to mount a PR campaign to tout the benefits of an all-Alaska large-diameter gas pipeline. This comes with a bill pending in the legislature that would advance a smaller inline line to help meet Alaska's energy needs, getting the project to the point of open season where officials can see if it is viable. Governor Sean Parnell has said his administration is pursuing both projects on parallel paths. Valdez City Manager John Hosey says it doesn't matter, considered the projects compatible. He says a big line would be better for Alaska in terms of revenue. Valdez, which would like to be the terminus for a major project, is looking to build a campaign around the concept of this is Alaska and size matters. And that's all for Raven News, KCAW in Sitka.